The following Dharma talk was given at Boundless Way Temple in Worcester, Massachusetts. The temple is an affiliate of Boundless Way Zen, a multi-lineage school of Zen Buddhism.
So welcome back. We'll begin our evening practice with an encouragement talk from Dharma holder Alan Richardson.
In broad daylight, under the blue sky, he preached a dream in a dream. Absurd, absurd. He deceived the entire assembly. We've been hearing a lot about dreams at this retreat. This life is as real as a dream, a flickering lamp. A flickering lamp, a phantom and a dream. And my favorite so far, the crane dreams in the wintry mist. And of course, our koan, Yangshan, dreamed he went to Maitreya's realm and was led to the third seat. And then the poem, Wumen's verse comment on the poem. In broad daylight, under the blue sky, he preached a dream in a dream. I wonder if you notice the dream logic of the beginning of this poem. As in a dream, at first we're outside, in broad daylight, under a blue sky, like the skies I've been seeing out my window over the last couple of days in my part of Massachusetts. But then suddenly we seem to be in a Dharma hall, with a stand and a gavel and seats, where he preached a dream in a dream. So did we just have a dream dissolve from outside to inside, or are we supposed to imagine that Maitreya's Dharma hall is open to the sky because it never rains in Maitreya's realm? All very dreamlike and strange. So it's very common, not just in Buddhism, not just in Asian cultures, to think that life might be a dream. This notion of life as a dream comes up a lot. We even encounter it in childhood. We sing it, merrily, 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 life is but a dream. We read books about it. Alice wakes up from Wonderland. Was it all just my dream? Dorothy at the end of The Wizard of Oz. But it seems so real, Addie M. And yet, not childhood, but maybe adolescence is the high point of our sense that we're living in a dream world and only we are awake. We encounter that dangerous word solipsism when we're 14 or 15 and become and fall in love with it for a while. I'm thinking of a line in a poem by one of the poets I teach, William Wordsworth, describing when he's at college in Cambridge, so he would have been 16 or 17, peak age for this. And the line is, I was the dreamer, they the dream. And how many of us felt that sometimes when we were 15 or 16 or 17? But where Buddhism takes this is to a more radical place, closer to home. Because Buddhism doesn't just suggest that the way we see the world may be a dream. It suggests that the self is a dream, that the I is a dream. So we could rephrase Wordsworth, I was the dreamer, I was the dream. And so we sit with this I, this self in Zazen, period after period, day after day, sesshin after sesshin. And we start to see its dreamlike aspects. We start through our Zazen activity to see the kinds of markers that help us know as we're waking up that we were in a dream. For example, that discontinuity we were just talking about, when we go from the clear blue sky to the inside of a Dharma hall, sort of thing that happens in dreams. And think how discontinuous your ego, your I, yourself is. All these differences that you try desperately to smooth over between who you are one moment and who you are the next. Sometimes the beneficent student of the Buddha who wouldn't harm a thing, and then in another moment, you know, raging and having murderous thoughts because that damn dog next door is barking again and it's 4 a.m. And so on. Lots of different selves that we try to keep smoothing together with our waking dream logic. And then the other big tip-off that we were dreaming, it's just not real. The things happening in the dream don't correspond to reality. And our dream of the I, our dream of the ego, the self, also so often doesn't correspond to reality. And we find ourselves saying things like, well, I wouldn't have done that. And if I did, or yeah, I said that, but that's not what I meant. These contradictions that we keep running into, where our idea of the self, our dream of the self, is shown to be really a fabrication, and not a very good one at that. And that quality too, that Freud attributed to all dreams, not really true of all dreams, but certainly true of some of them, of wish fulfillment. We dream ourselves the way we wish that we could be, not the way that we are. We dream the I that we project as an ideal, and lose sight of the karmic person who's out there in the world making all kinds of trouble and maybe doing a little good too. This is why, in talking about our fundamental activity of studying the mind, Dogen says to study the Buddha way is to study the mind, is to study the self. To study the Buddha way is to study the self. To study the self is to forget the self. To study the self is to see the self implode, is to see the dream start to dissolve. Another way of putting it than Dogen's. To study the self is to let the self go. The lotus blossoms, the dreamer awakens. This is the one part of the awakening that we seek together. This doesn't mean that we get a new, better, improved self. We still have this karmic self that we've been building up and dragging around with us. But we have a different relation to it when we start to wake up to its dreamlike aspects, its illusory nature. And think about when you wake up from sleep. You're not a different person than you were in your dream, usually. Very rarely we might dream we're another person. But usually you're not a different person than you were in your dream. But you have all kinds of options that you didn't have in your dream. You have a lot more flexibility suddenly. You have a freedom you didn't have in your dream. For example, the freedom to get out of bed and maybe go out under that blue sky or just to the kitchen to make some coffee. And so we call this a way of liberation as we start to free ourselves from the dream of the self, as we start to see the rifts in the dream logic, as we start to see the gaps in the self narrative that we're constantly reweaving as it unweaves itself before our very eyes. We have more flexibility, we have more freedom, we can act in more compassionate ways. We gain a little wisdom. And then how do we describe this to other people? He preached a dream in a dream. Absurd, absurd. It really does sound kind of absurd, doesn't it? And something that I love about Zen, among all the major spiritual traditions, it's the one that most sees the humor in all this, because it's really pretty funny that we've been walking around in this dream world, in our dream selves all this time. Absurd, absurd. He deceived the entire assembly, which is the best that any of us can do. And now I will stop trying to deceive you. Thank you.